Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Cal, I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that's teaching and preaching the Word of God in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are excited and we are delighted that the Lord has granted us one more day in the land of the living. We are here under the very power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We have been through some trials and tribulation in the last couple of months, but we are still here and we are still giving Him praise. We pray that today that something will be said or done that will draw you closer to Him. We're going to be teaching and we're going to be preaching of the subject matter that even though you be caught in the act, Jesus is still able to save you. But we are going to go into some worship now for a few minutes, and then we'll come back and bring a message to you in the name of Jesus. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the worship. Sometimes you got to get to a place where you give all that you have to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are here in the precious name of Jesus. And we thank the Lord granting us the gift of salvation. We thank the Lord for giving us health in the midst of the dead situation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is a great God. We pray this morning that God would allow us to teach and preach as he gave us utterance this morning, because we can't do this thing on our own. We cannot preach. We cannot teach. We cannot prophesy. We cannot do anything on our own. But we only do what thus says the Lord. This morning we want to talk about, even though you may be caught in the act, Jesus can still forgive you. Even though you may be caught in the act, Jesus can still forgive you. You know, some of us, we are in the crack house, we are in the whore house, we are lying and we are cheating. And we are doing all the things that make us feel good, leading us to hell. But it makes us feel good. You know, Jesus is still able to forgive us for those things that we do that is contrary to his will when we call upon him. This is the God that we serve. He is merciful. He is compassionate. Oh, glory to God. He's full of grace. This is the God that we serve. He never gives us what we desire, but he gives us what we need. I'm talking about King Jesus. Most of us desire to have death, but he gave us life. I was in the hospital, and I got to continue to share this. And as I was just telling the bank, I was gone for a while. So I didn't know. I had no concept of my bills or anything. And usually I don't have any late payments. But I had a payment that was late, and they were charging me like $34 or something like that for the late payment. So I just told the lady, I said, I've been gone for a while. I had a quadruple heart surgery. And she said, no, Mr. Calloway, I'm going to check on it. And it wouldn't take her no more but less than a minute. She came back. She said, no, we're knocking off that late payment, because we see that you don't have late payments. You're always on time. Well, our God is the same thing. He's never late. He's always on time for us, when even though he should be even on time for us. We're not worthy of his time, but he's always on time for us. We're going to be talking this morning on the subject matter, even though you may be caught in the very act, Jesus is able. Do you know he's able? Where you don't see it, he's watching. He's looking down from glory and looking into time, and he can see everything that we do, everything that we say. Sometimes we cuss people out, and we cuss them out because there's no other Christians, there's no other believers, there's no other pastors, deacons or elders of day that say, well, look, well, I thought you was a man of God, a woman of the cloth. Why are you talking like that? Because we believe that nobody has seen, nobody hears that can reprimand us But guess who hears and who sees? His name is Jesus. Nothing surpasses him. Whatever happened on earth, heaven sees, heaven hears. So we got to be conscious of where we are seeing, when we are speaking stuff out of our mouth. We have to be conscious of them. Here in the book of John, let's go to the book of John. I've been elaborating too much. Let's go to the book of John chapter 8. Is that where we're going to be? Yes. John chapter 8. I'm going to hit you up the King James Bible and out the Logos Bible and the Amplified Bible. We just want to do something. I'm still having a lot of pains in my chest because I'm healing. I'm not completely healed yet. In the spirit realm, I'm completely healed. In the spirit realm, I'm completely healed. I know this for a fact. But in the natural realm that I'm in walking around, I'm not completely healed. Because when I cough, feel as though my chest plate is going to burst open. My breastplate is going to burst open. I feel that inside of me, you know. But it's not as bad as it was before. Oh, my Lord Jesus. When I cough, it just felt so bad, so much pain. But the pain is subsiding because King Jesus is my doctor. He is my doctor. And he called me when I answered. He called me. He answered me when I called. This is where the songwriter says. Here in the book of John chapter 8, may the Lord help us to deliver this message with clarity. May he help us to deliver this message with clarity. Jesus. The Bible says Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, King James Version. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. Now, you understand, if you listen to the text, that Jesus was in the temple before. He went up to the Mount of Olives. A lot of times, Jesus would go over to the mountain, he would pray. He would have a conversation with the Father. But then he would come down from the Mount to the people. Because he's having conversation with the Father on behalf of the people. Jesus will always seek for a greater answer, a greater release from the Father for the people. It said he sat down and began crying and fasting, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, now this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Remember, I tell you that even though you may be caught in the act, Jesus can still forgive you. Hallelujah. He can still make you whole. Even when you are caught in your misdeeds. Hey, you just want to throw in the towel because the people told you there's no other way out. They said, boy, you better just go on and take your life. You better just go in and commit suicide. You better just go out and hang yourself. Drink all the poison that you can because there's no other way out. But I come this morning to tell you that there is a way out. The way out is Jesus. That is the way out. To give your life to him. To surrender, to submit, to commit. We're praying for Pastor Brown. We know a couple of years ago he had a stent put in one of his arteries. Well, he have another artery that's giving trouble. We don't know how much there are. We don't know if there's one or two or three or four. But tomorrow he has to go and have heart surgery. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we're thanking God and praising God for the outcome of the surgery. And we always say that the outcome is going to be greater than the income. So whatever he's dealing with, we believe in that God's going to bring him up safe. We believe that God has already done the work that needs to be done. Hallelujah. Because he has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I had four arteries that was messed up. Four. Plus the one on the side of my neck that said the carotid artery. Almost 40 stitches in that. that they had to cut open the side of my neck. But I'm still here. Because I went in there in faith in God, trusting him, depending on him, relying on him, the work that he has already begun in me, that he will complete. But here in this text, the Bible says that the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, she was caught in the act, performing sex, having sex with a man that wasn't her husband, some other woman's husband. Do you hear what I'm saying? But they didn't bring the man. Something is wrong with this picture. They didn't bring the man, and she couldn't have sex by herself, but they brought her to Jesus, set her in the midst of all the people, shaming her, possibly saying all types of names about her. Hallelujah. And Jesus is just stooping there, listening to them degrade this woman without the man that was in the very act with her. The Bible says, they say unto him, they're talking to Jesus, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? They told us, Jesus, that Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what commandest thou? In other words, Moses required this, so what do you think should be done to her? What do you think should be done to her? This, they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. They said, Jesus don't have to reply to nobody. I want you all to know that. He don't have to reply, respond to anyone because he's God. He is God all by himself. He knows all things. He can do all things. He sees all things. Hears all things. He cannot feel. Jesus acted as though he didn't hear what they were saying. Scribbling some, the Bible doesn't tell you what he wrote on the floor, on the ground, but he was writing something. That's what they say. Hallelujah, glory. Glory to God. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continue asking him and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast his stone at her. And Jesus got all excited in his spirit, man. I could imagine him stepping up, standing up. He was a tall man. And he spoke with authority. He spoke with boldness. And he said to them, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. What did Jesus just did? Examine their own hearts. This is what he did. You know how we can push our chest up and we can say, well, I'm the pastor, I'm the bishop, I'm the apostle, I'm the deacon, I'm the elder, I'm the usher. I'm the prophet, the prophetess, the apostle. You know how we can push our chest up like we all done in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, not know that we are like down. We are like filth on the side of the curb. We push our chest up because men and women are honoring us. So we believe that we have arrived. Hallelujah, glory to God. But Jesus stand up. And I can imagine him looking at them with such a sternness, winking his eyes without moving his muscles. Just spoke to them with power and authority. You without sin. cast the first stone at her. Listen. Glory to God. Again, he stooped down on the ground. Listen to this. The second time Jesus stooped down and began to continue writing on the ground. I missed this because I wish that they had written in the text what Jesus was writing on the ground. I wish they had written this in the text. Because all we can do is guesstimate what he wrote. Somebody said that he was writing their sin on the ground. I don't know. I hear preachers say, oh, Jesus, he was writing all their sins on the ground. I can't say that because the Bible just don't tell me that. The Bible just told me that he went back a second time, bowed, went down, stooped down a second time, and began to write on the ground. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. You see, sin has a way of convicting us. Let us say it this way. Truth has a way of convicting us. We don't like it, but it has a way of convicting us, place where we understand, where we know that we are wrong. Jesus said to them, you without sin, cast the first stone. Jesus bypassed their mental faculties and went directly to their heart, their spiritual heart. He don't want to go to the place of reasoning. He goes straight to the heart. You know, sometimes we look, when we go to the place of reasoning, we say, well, I don't say this, I don't do that. And we start to say that, we make ourselves, well, I'm not as bad as Brother John. I'm not as bad as Harry. You know, we are trying to justify our sin. We're trying to justify our sin. But Jesus said to them, very simple. Hallelujah. He stooped down. The Bible says he stooped down. And he said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the first stone. Jesus has already examined all of them. I want you to know this. You may not see it. Excuse me. You may not see it in the Word. He operates like a supernatural X-ray machine. He operates like a supernatural laser beam. He can see everything. It doesn't matter if you put it underneath the rock, if you put it in the ocean, if you put it on mountains high or valley lows, and you put it in hell, he sees it all. He said to them, he that is without sin among you, let's go back up to where we were. The Bible says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. See, this word goes straight to your conscience. You can press your chest up as high as you want to push it up. Conviction is still coming true. Because Jesus knows who we are. And he knows what we have done, what we are doing, and what we will do. He knows it all. I'm talking about even though you may be caught in the act, Jesus can still forgive you. This is the subject matter. This is my topic this morning. Even though you may have been caught in the act, Jesus can still save you. the Bible said they were convicted by their own conscience. This is in John chapter 8, verses 9. They went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Something held her. Something kept her there. Because when the people left, when the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests and all those that was accusing her, they knew the law. All of them was accusing her as an adulteress. She could have just go in the opposite direction than where they were going. Just get away from that place. But she was kept there by the Spirit of the Most High God. Hear me today. She's still standing. When Jesus had lifted up himself, this is the third time, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, "Woman, where are those that accuse us? Has no man condemned thee?" Verse 11 says, she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I want you to know, it doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter what people are saying about you. It doesn't matter what people will say about you. If you put it before the Lord, your past, your present, and even the future, he is able. Said it early in the message, and I'm saying it again. Pray for Pastor Brown. A few years ago, he had a stent in one of his arteries, but he has more problems now. You heard Pastor Evangelist Brown say last week that he's having a lot of chest pains. We don't know how many arteries is blocked. He don't know how many arteries blocked, but he will be going into the hospital. And we are praying that whatever artery is blocked, that they will be able to go in there and fix it under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Here, all the people left this woman. What always bothers me with this text is that the Bible talks that she was caught in the very act, in the very act of adultery. But they only brought her to Jesus. If she was caught in the act of adultery, mean that she wasn't doing this stuff by herself. It had to be somebody else. So where is the other person? Hallelujah. Jesus went to Mount Olive, a small ridge on Jerusalem's eastern border. The scribes and the Pharisees refer to the religious authorities. This phrase is characteristic of the synoptic gospel. John usually prefers just Pharisees or the Jews. A woman caught in adultery, the biblical law prescribes death for both partners involved in the adulterous relationship. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. The religious authorities' condemnation is unjustly selective since her partner had apparently been left out. In other words, she's being accused of adultery, but the man had been set aside. They told Jesus about the law. Moses commanded us to stone such a woman to death. Leviticus 20 and 10. Deuteronomy 22:22-24. They began to continue to speak to Jesus concerning this matter like Jesus don't already know. If it happened in the Caribbean and they were talking to Jesus in the United States of America, he knew exactly what went down. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent, omniscient. He's all-powerful, all-knowing God, all-seeing God. Hallelujah. So you're not saying something to him new that he didn't know about. He knows all. The Bible said what Jesus writes is unknown. They're talking to Jesus concerning this woman, never mentioned the man, and Jesus is stooping down, scribbling on the earth. So they never tell you, some preacher, as I told you earlier, some preachers say that Jesus is writing the sin of the sin of the people, the Pharisees and the scribes. They just said he wrote on the ground a couple of times. And here we see that what Jesus wrote, unknown. It appears to prompt the leaders later conviction of conscience. John chapter 8, verse 9. Perhaps by reminding them of their own sinfulness or of the law, the law's higher consideration, mercy, and compassion. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 13. Sometimes we are so holy, sometimes we are so holy that we don't have compassion. Sometimes we are so holy that we don't extend mercy and grace. We sometimes act like we have gotten to the place that we are in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that we don't have to extend mercy and grace. We see somebody in a homosexual act, a lesbian act, a fornication, adultery, stealing, gambling, whatever, cussing. And we don't think that God is able to forgive them. But I got news for you. It doesn't matter what your sin is. If you come to him, if you go to him in full repentance, honest repentance, you know, because some people tell you, I say honest repentance because that's what I heard in my spirit. Some people will go to him, the pastor called for people to come to the altar, repentance. They'll run to the altar, Christ, not in all kind of stuff. Then they repent. But they're doing that on show to please the pastor, the first lady, whatever. Because the very same night, they're going to act the same way they was acting the night before. But when we truly repent, something happens on the inside. There's a change that begins on the inside. I no longer want to do what I want to do, what I used to do, because something happened. When I was in the hospital, the Holy Spirit, a few pastors came and looked for me crying and made me cry too even more. And the Lord began to deal with me. He began to deal with me, with my life, not your life. You know, he began to deal with me. And I began to talk to the Lord, talk back to him. And I told the Lord, I said, all that I have done, all that I've said, every action that I've taken, Lord, I'm determined to do much better. And I began to weep before the Lord. And I felt my life changing. You know, even my thoughts were changing. This is what repentance is. You can't say, I'm going to say. You can say if you want to, because a lot of people say stuff when they're under pressure. But as soon as they get from under pressure, they change, go back to the same old life. But I begin to talk to him and find him. The one of you without sin, Jesus said, the legal problems intended to entrap Jesus always result in embarrassment for the accusers or questioners. As Jesus was always unexpected and cut directly to the heart of the problem, Jesus makes the case that no one is without sin other than God. See, it doesn't matter how long we've been preaching, how long we've been teaching, we've been prophesying God has been using his word to heal people through us. That don't mean that we are sinless. You may not be actively sinning, but you have the sin nature. You got it from the Garden of Eden. And the people, I don't sin. But you still have the sin nature. That's why you are subject to sin at any time. Then you see a lot of preachers, they're bishops and apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Been preaching for 30, 40 years. Oh, they know how to exegete. They know how to parallelize the scripture. They know the Greek and the Hebrew, 40 years of preaching the gospel. You find out that they leave their wife, leave their husband, and go right into the pit of hell. Right into the pit of hell. Why? Have you ever considered asking why? Well, let me tell you what. Because we all have the sin nature. And we all need to put the sin nature under the blood. Under the blood. Why? Because Satan doesn't care how big you get in your ministry. He doesn't care how many millions of dollars that you're able to put in your bank account from the offerings and the tithes. He don't care about that. All Satan is worried about your soul and the rest that may believe on the word that you preach and teach. That's why we're not only preaching the truth, we got to live the truth. Here, Jesus speaks with power and authority. Jesus makes the case that no one is without sin other than God. And thus no one is permitted to pass judgment by any authority other than that what God had given them. Only God has a pure motive. Sometimes we want to give judgment. We want to pass judgment on people because of our status. I'm the bishop, I'm the apostle, I'm the evangelist, I'm the prophetess. You know, we want to pass judgment. But no one is worthy to pass judgment but God. Because most of the time we are trying to pass judgment, hallelujah, our motives are not right. Jesus began another round of teaching centered on his divine origin and relationship with God, the Father. The passage reinforced thematic content and divine claims already present in the discourses of chapter 5 and 6. This teaching expands on the light and darkness antithesis that John uses to contrast belief and unbelief. Jesus uses the second of seven metaphorical I am seen in the passage. Let's go to chapter 12. Let's go to chapter 12. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Chapter 12. Glory to God. And let's start where? Hallelujah. At verse 1. Hallelujah. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a dinner there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of the ones reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of very valuable, genuine nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped
his feet that were here. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was going to betray him, said, "Why was the ointment not sold for 300 denarios and given to the poor?" Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. See, Judas had access to the money box. He used to steal what was put in it. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my preparation, burial. For you have the poor with you always, but you do not always have me." Glory. It's important that you know where you are, what you have, and the reason why you have. Why are you delivering it? We have to think about all these things. If somebody says, "Apostle, that you're going to go to the hospital and you're going to come out a different way," I would have said, "I wasn't sure that my life would be changed so drastically and so drastically." I don't know. But God has a way of doing what he does. Why? Because he's God. The way he does things. Here in this text, everybody is focusing on the denarii, the 300 denarii worth. Hallelujah. But Jesus is focusing on his burial, that this woman is doing this thing in preparation of his burial. Sometimes we see preachers preaching, but we don't understand the reason why they're preaching and teaching the way that they're preaching. And most of the times we should be preaching in preparation for people to receive the kingdom of God in their heart. Not just to make them feel happy that we are good preachers or we are good teachers or we understand the text that we are teaching of. We know how to turn it here and turn it there and make it feel good. That should not be the focus. The focus is we want to get it out that people come to understanding that they have to do better. They must do better if they're going to enter in. They can't pay themselves in. They can't pay them tithes and offerings in to get into the kingdom. They have to live the life that is acceptable to the kingdom. The Bible says here, preparation for burial. Jesus seems to confirm that the nard, or the spices, the perfume that she was using, traditionally used in burial preparation of the time. He recognized that he will die soon. Some folk are just looking at how much money they could make off the perfume. But Jesus looked further than just the perfume. He could see his crucifixion. He could see himself being abused by natural mankind on his way to the cross. Jesus could see all this. We can't. We couldn't. The soldiers couldn't see it. The people on the side of the street, both left side and right side, couldn't see it. They were mocking him. But Jesus could see all these things would happen even before they happened. Hallelujah. He said, "The poor you have with you always." Although Jesus had emphasized the need for his disciples to care for the poor, he explained that he should be their focus. especially in these days, prior to his death. See, there's time that we have to recognize that the poor must be taken care of. At a time that we must recognize what Jesus wants done. Hallelujah, glory to God. We have to focus on the assignment that he gave to us. Jesus wanted the disciples to focus on him. The focus is on me. I'm going to be put to death soon. Glory to God. Important that we see this. Let us go over to Luke. Luke chapter 14. Maybe we can give you a little bit more. Luke. Glory to God. We're talking about, even though you may be caught in the act of, even though you may be caught in the act, Jesus can still forgive you. So many times we have been out there and, oh, God has forgiven us. He has shielded us. He's protected us. He has done so much for us, we can't tell it all. You know, we can't tell it all. We've been out there. Hallelujah. Here in the book of Luke chapter 14, start of verse 1. And it happened that when he came to the house of a certain man of the leaders of the Pharisees on a Sabbath to eat a meal, they were watching him closely, and behold, a certain man was in front of him suffering from edema. And Jesus answered and said to the legal experts and Pharisees, saying, is it permitted to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. And he took hold of the man and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, who among you, If your son or your ox fall into a well on the day of the Sabbath, will not immediately pull him out? And they were not able to make a reply to these things. Jesus began to speak. So Jesus don't only speak. He gives you a clear metaphor so that you have to look at your own self. We are in Luke chapter 14. Hallelujah. And I'm reading out the Logos Bible, but we're going to go to the King James. Because sometimes we don't see it, but it's there. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Merciful. In the King James Bible, the Virgin. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watch him. They're watching him. Why are they watching him? They want to catch Jesus on something. They want to catch him on something, doing something that's contrary to the law. You know he can't go outside the law because he's the law. He's the law. He's not just the lawgiver. He is the law. Excuse me. But they're trying to catch him because they don't believe the same thing he believes. They clearly do. But, you know, you have people that say this, I believe what you believe, but they're not doing what you do. So in a sense, they don't believe what you believe. You have people saying, oh, I believe in Jesus. But when you look at their actions, it don't line up. It don't line up. We got people here in our neighborhood that have a mega church right here, a Catholic mega church. But they don't do what we do. And they have statue and all this stuff outside of Mother Mary. Big giant statue that all that money they made to to get that thing, a big old thing to have, make, you know, to run in the statue. They could have given that money to the poor. But that's their God. The Bible says, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Ask them a very serious question. Excuse me. They got a belief on knowing that Jesus is a great man. Not that he's the Son of God. They got to believe that he's a great man, a prophet, a teacher sent from God. So they really don't know how to respond. They don't know how to respond, if they're going to respond and offend the Jews, or they're going to respond and offend God. So they don't respond. Okay? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Now, the fifth verse says, and answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit will not straightway put him out of on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, who were invited. When he marked how they choose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, see, there's folk that they want to get in the high place. They want to be in the high place. Hallelujah. But a lot of times when they go in the high place, they are moved from the high place because the person that is truly required to be in the high place shows up. And then they have to be shifted and being embarrassed. But listen to what it says. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not thou down in the highest room, a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him came and said to thee, give this man space. And thou begin with shame to make the lowest room. No, we see this happen all the time. And I go down, I was just at a church, and before we went in the hospital, and it was a big celebration, anniversary. And as the pastor said, he said to me, he said, the pastor, come and sit up here. I said, no, I'm fine back here. I appreciate you wanting me here. But listen to me. Pastor Stone is some well-known bishop that he know. He was shifting people from the front row to the third row or the fourth row to the fifth row to set the bishops and the apostles up there. And I said, no, I don't want to step there. You know, I said, I'm fine back here, plus I see everything. I can see everything more down here than up there. But a lot of people, they rush to get up front. They want to get up front. You can get more from back. You can see everything, all the errors, the mistakes that are going on. Let us go over here to John. To Luke chapter 7. Don't try to put yourself up. Let God put you up, okay? Let him put you up. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 7. When God put you up, nobody can put you down. Hallelujah. When he put you up, nobody can put you down. Believe what I'm telling you. I've been there before. That's why I honor him with everything that's in Luke chapter 7, and let's start at verse 36. We're talking about, even though you, and now we're here in Luke chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Hallelujah. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment.
Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, you know, one of the things you'll hear a lot of preachers preach this and teach this, but you know what really got me in here is that the Bible stressed that she was. I don't know if you're looking at it in your Bible or on your cell phone or your laptop or your iPad or whatever, but the Bible says, this is verse 37, which was a sinner, or she was a sinner, or you want to pick it up off the page. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God, a holy man, righteous man, one who stands out from darkness. He is the light of the world. But he is still allowing this woman that is a sinner, he was a sinner, weep on his feet. He's weeping continuously, profusely. And he allowed this woman to dry his feet with her hair. He didn't ever push her away to the girl, I know you're a sinner. Why? Don't try to touch me. Do you know who I am? You got preachers today, man. I'm telling you, I've seen them bother. They got somebody carrying a Bible, carrying a cell phone, carrying this, carrying that. And you can't even get close to touch it because they consider you a worldly person until their worldliness is exposed. And Jesus have a way of exposing all the cracks and the crevices in our lives. Hear what it says. He have a way of exposing all the cracks and crevices that's in our lives, especially when we push our chest up and lean our head back. Like we have arrived that we are like a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. We act like we got it together. He have a way of exposing us. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Now, when the Pharisees which had invited him, bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. You see how the onlookers and even the one that invites you, how they talk, think? They think you don't know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was in the hospital, Apostle, and God began to show me the life of a pastor. He began to show me the life of a pastor, his past life. And the Lord says, when you get a chance, tell him. Because he's still dealing with us. The thought, he's not operating in that realm anymore. And the Lord said, tell him, I have forgiven all of his. All, the Lord told me that. Sometimes we allow the enemy to come and just keep bringing up old stuff when God has already dismissed the old stuff. Even the stuff in the present that is trying to cling to us, God has knocked them back into darkness. Getting you ready to walk into the future of eternity with him.
They said Jesus knew. Maybe he knew. Talking in themselves like he can't hear. If he only knew who this woman was, what kind of woman she was, what kind of woman she is, that touching him, that anointing him, that crying over his feet. Jesus knew it all. Yeah. And Jesus answered, this is, and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Oh, my God. That was so beautiful last night when I was studying this. He said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on, continue to speak. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, or $220, and the other $50. It's the Bible given narration. That's what I'm telling you right now. And when they had nothing to pay, they were broke. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I enter into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my head, hath anointed my feet with ointment. Excuse me. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth. Listen, listen. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this man that forgiveth sins also? People going to still question your motive. They're still going to question your authority. And he said to the woman, thy faith have saved thee. Go. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Tomorrow, the Lord say the same. We are not going to be here unless we come on late in the evening. I don't know how tired my body is going to be. I have to go to see the surgeons tomorrow, and they're going to examine, and they're going to take pictures with the X-ray machine, and a lot of stuff going to go on tomorrow. No. I see the family doctor tomorrow, sorry. And Thursday, I'm going to see the tomorrow's Tuesday. So, yeah, we'll be able to come on tomorrow. But I don't see the family doctor till 3:30. But Thursday, we got to see these surgeons early. And it's a long way. And it's almost 1 hour and 10 minutes or 1 hour and 15 minutes. At least 1 hour away. So we have to get over there early to get all that stuff looked at. So, but here in this book of Matthew chapter 9, the scriptures are what really speaks to us. You know, it's a lot of times I hear people hooping and hollering and stuff. And, you know, I say, well, hooping is good if it makes you feel good. But I like the word. The word of God is what blesses me and convicts me to want to do better. Here in Matthew chapter 9, and let's start at verses 18. Jesus, he said, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. Come and lay thy hands upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with the issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem, touch his garment, I shall be whole. Even in her sickness and disease, that probably smelling and stuff, because this was going on for a long time, 12 years. You know, she was constantly bleeding. It's like having a period and can't stop it. You know, blood, when blood get old, blood smells. So she's probably smelling. But she said in herself, after hearing about this Jesus, if I might touch him, if I might just touch his garments, something will happen to me, for me. But Jesus turned himself about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Jesus blessed her. He didn't rebuke her because he knew her need. And he knew that she had this need for a long time. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. And he said unto them, give place or get out, for the maid is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people went out the house, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all the land. I want you to know, God's about to use you in such a way that he's going to be glorified. See, a lot of time we're looking to be glorified, but it's not about us. It's about him being glorified. Go to Mark chapter 5, next book over. This is the last scripture we're going to give you today. Tomorrow we'll come on tomorrow morning. We'll finish in time to leave. I just think the appointment tomorrow is 3:30, so we can go. Mark chapter 5 and verses 21 to 24. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell on at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. Bradley, come and lay your hands on her and that she may be healed. And he shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Jesus went to heal the little girl. She was 12 years old. The woman had the issue of blood 12 years. It doesn't matter. If you got this stuff, give it to Jesus. We are still going through schizophrenic. Some people are so crazy. I was in a hospital here in Boston, right here down the street from my house. And the hospital was so fearful, they had people laying out in the corridor. I mean, laying out in the corridor on cots. They had to make room, put somebody out to put me in a room. And then I couldn't stay there because what I was dealing with was too much for that hospital. Then they had to transfer me to this big hospital. But there's so many people sick today. I'm saying this because so many people are mentally sick and spiritually sick that need Jesus, but they wouldn't give their life to. They need him. Matter of fact, you can even go as far as say, well, you know, they say they give their life, but they're not giving their life. You know? They say, well, Lord, you can have this, but you can't have that. And I come to tell today that God don't want a part of your life. God wants your whole life. You're not going to experience what God has for us until we give him all. We got to give him all. A-double-L. All. Now, this apart, there was a singer who was alive, young, we called it, soul singer. And he used to sing, 99 and a half would do. It just would do. It's a good thing if I could like it, worship it. I got to have 100. And if the worldly singer don't want 99 and a half, he wants 100. How much more do you think all God wants or needs from us? He needs 100. That's what he needs. If you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, take your time today and examine yourself like we did yesterday for Holy Communion. Examine yourself and see if you're in right standing with God. Just take a look at yourself. You know where you are right now. You may have figured, well, I got a good job, I don't trouble nobody, but your heart's still not right. You know, because a lot of people try to justify the position that they're in right now, their lifestyle. They say, well, I don't hurt anyone, I don't mistreat anyone, I'm okay and all this. But your heart's not right for God. If God had come back right now, he'd come back the next 30 seconds, the next second, the next minute, you will be left behind. You know, God had to show me so much stuff in the hospital. You know, I kept talking. I'm going to think about it, talk about it, because I told the Lord, I am going to testify. I'm going to glorify. I'm going to honor him with this life that he has given me, that he's given me. You know, I'm going to tell people about it. Because the Lord that I serve began to show me some things about my life. And I begin to cry, and I begin to weep, and I ask God to forgive me, you know. So we may think that we got it all together, but truth be told, we are messed up garbage cans. We preach, we teach, we sing, all this stuff. But when you really get down to the nitty-gritty and lay your life out next to the Word of God, next to the prescribed doctrine of God, you realize how far away you are. We all. So if you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, John 3:17, that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Bible says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil, John 3:19. John 3:19. Romans 5:8 says that God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, in spite of your sin, in spite of my sin, our sins, God loved us so much. He loved us so much. I always tell people that God wanted a family. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and he had to disperse them out of the garden, he still wanted a family. He still loved Adam and Eve. He loved them, but he wanted a family who would worship him, who would praise him, who would honor him. So he sent his Son into the world as a seed to be sown into this world for sin, so that he would, in time, redeem his family. And we come to him through the blessed blood of Jesus Christ in repentance. Hallelujah. We come to him in repentance by faith. And he extends his grace to us so that we can be saved. It's what it's all about. It's very simple. Peter said that that every one of us must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Every one of us. You don't have it together. This is why we have to repent every single day. We got to be on our back, and we are repenting, asking God for grace, more grace to face the day. We ask him every day, because why? The enemy's releasing more and more and more and more. He wants to take us out, but God's grace is sufficient for us. He will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. You don't know Jesus today. Take this opportunity. Let him know that you recognize where you are. You recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. In Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation than any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hear this. There's no other name given among men where we must be saved. Some people say that you can go in this name and that name, but it's only one name. Jesus even went as far as said, if you come in any other way, you are a thief and a robber. He said this. So if we come in any other way, try to come in and think we can get in any way, we will be a thief and a robber. Hallelujah. So he's giving you the way to come, and the way to come is through Jesus. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confesses believes unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be saved. Do you know that the wages of sin is death? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 6:26. He said, we all have sin. You and I, all of us, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When I was in the hospital and I was going through all this stuff, I began to testify with power and authority. Like if it was my last day, my last moment. This is no time to play church. We got to stand up for truth, or we'll fall for life. You can't look at your circumstance. You got ailments in your body, all of it. We got ailments of this, ailments of that. You still got to praise God. That shouldn't stop you from praising God, because your foot is not acting right. Your knee not acting right. Your kidneys not acting right. Your bladder, your lungs. Or you got emphysema. You got asthma. You got, man, that shouldn't stop. You should praise God anyway. I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, look, do you know that they sent me up the hospital before it was my time to go out by their standards? But the doctor's coming today and said, they said, well, if you don't, so so good, we got to send you home. We got to send you home, sir. You can go home and do your recovery at home. You're doing well. You understand? Because I'm praising him in spite of what I'm going through, what my body is acting. I said, look, it's all about him. And I said, no, because I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm fed by Christ, and my life has already been purged. You've got to have some boldness. Because you've got asthma, because you've got emphysema, because you've got leukemia, and you've got all this stuff going on with you, your breast cancer, you got lung cancer, you got kidney cancer, all this stuff, you become depressed. Like you was going to take this body with you. This body's not going with us. People, I want you to understand this. Your spiritual body was going with you. So you praise him for your spiritual. Your spiritual body is healed. It's delivered. It's filled. Praise him. And he sent me home. And he came home here. I'm doing so much. I'm going this place and that place. The only thing that wouldn't let me drive. I want to drive so much, but it wouldn't let me drive. See, they thinking that I'm going to get an accident. Suppose I get an accident. Somebody hit the front of the car. And the airbag deployed. It could burst my chest open, I believe, to death. You know what I'm saying? And I don't understand that. So what I do, some things you got to understand. There's some things you want to do, but you can't do them. You just can't do them. As much as you want to drive, you you can't drive. You got to let your body get so that someone wants to hit your car and the airbag to fly, at least your chest, your breastplate will be able to stand up through it and wouldn't bust open. So that's what we deal with. But if you don't know Jesus and the Lord and Savior today, the Bible said that you can't purchase it. That's what the Bible said. And it said that in Ephesians 2:9. It said, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of works, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you can't do nothing to gain this thing. Jesus did it all. He did it all on Calvary. You understand? He did it all. The Bible says he is at the door and he's knocking. If you would open the door, he would come in and step with you. It all. So you got to be, we got to stay prepared. That's why I said you got to live a prepared life. You want to go to heaven? My friend, you got to live to go to heaven. You're not just going to heaven. You got to live again. Hallelujah. People think they can just say, they're deciding that life stuff and all that stuff, and they're going to heaven. I got news for you. When the door opens and the guardian angels start to pick people, a lot of people are going to leave behind. Even from the church, going to be left behind. Because why? They choose to live their own lifestyle, not the lifestyle that pleases God. He's not looking for a perfect lifestyle. Because you and I, none of us would ever be perfect. But he's looking for you to live an obedient lifestyle. An obedient lifestyle. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that I've said something today. The word of God has touched you in such a way. Even though you may be in Africa, India, China, Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, oh God, Syria, Lebanon. You may be over there in Gaza. You may be in Jerusalem, Israel. We're Pakistan, wherever you are. Doesn't matter what. You may be in Germany. You may be in Brazil. You may be in, oh, my God, Kingston, Jamaica. You may be in Barbados, Bristol, Barbados. You may be in St. Kitts or St. Lucia, Martinique. You may be over in the Bahamas. They have a lot of problems going on down there. You may be in Guyana. I pray that you hear this word. You may be in Lesser Antilles, some part of the world. And I pray that as you hear it, that the Holy Spirit convicts you to want to live again. Because this is not a one-time thing. I want to tell you, it's not a one-time thing. As folks say, well, I only got one life to live, but I got news for you. According to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, you have a second resurrection. This is what the book says, not what I say. I don't make up this stuff. You know, so glory to God. Hallelujah. You want to be in the first resurrection. The blessed are those that are in the first resurrection. You see, if you're not in the first, you come and get the second, you will be condemned. You will be condemned. This is what he says. But the rest of the dead, listen, let's read this here. I want you to get this here because I want to put this on record. Here, John says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. Thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the words of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither had received his mark upon the forehead or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death, do you hear that? Hath no power. But there shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. I want you to know this. This is so powerful. See, in the second resurrection, people are going to be condemned to the lake of fire and brimstone. We want to live a life that we be in the first place. And it means that we're going to have to surrender every single day. At the moment that you think you can swag down the highway and drive this way and drive that place like that, the devil is still trying to get you. And he's putting thoughts in our mind to cause us to deviate from the path of righteousness. If you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, just take the moment and say, Lord Jesus, just say this for me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I have lived my life contrary to your word. I profess to be saved, Lord, but I now come to the place of understanding that I wasn't really saved, Lord. I was just doing my own thing. So I'm asking you, Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, to forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. I come to you this afternoon with great expectation. I pray, oh God, that you would hear my voice and that you would answer my prayer. Deliver me from the hand of the enemy. I pray today in the name of Jesus that whoever have said this prayer, this uncommon prayer, that their life will never be the same. That you, Lord Jesus, would lead them and guide them into all truth. Fill them with the Holy Ghost according to Acts 2:38. Bless them to receive the gift of everlasting. And if you said that prayer, you invite Jesus in your heart to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. You receive the gift of salvation. You can get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts so you have a gospel understanding of this Messiah, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that we teach and preach about every single day that we get a chance to come in. I'll call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell him that you have received the gift of salvation. but that you want to be baptized in Jesus' name according to Acts 2:38. Now, I don't want you to get all upset because a lot of people get upset. So, well, the preacher told me I got to be baptized in Jesus' name. How come you want to baptize me, Father, Son? Don't do that. If the preacher said they're baptized in Father, Son, okay, thank you so much. I'm going to get back in touch with you as soon as I get my guests together. Leave the bridge standing. Don't burn the bridge that you might have to walk back over. And I'm saying this because sometimes the very place that you act up is maybe the place that wants to give you an opportunity to teach and preach, to be pastor or some leader to bring God's people closer to him. So leave it good. Understand? And find a pastor that will baptize you in Jesus' name. Invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. So you want to have a great cloud of witnesses. Understand? So just like when we was going to the club, we had a lot of witnesses. Everybody could say, well, I saw brother, I saw David. He was down at the IMAX club last night. You know, well, let them say, well, he was over at the Baptist church. He was over at the Pentecostal church, the Apostolic church. Let him be seen that. When you're going to get baptized, you're going to what we call the leaky grave. And you are declaring to those witnesses, family and friends and folks, that you have given your life to Jesus. You're going down in the water. Hear me this morning. You're going down in the water declaring your life belongs to Jesus. When you come up on that water, you're declaring even the more. And you may shout, when I came up on the water, I couldn't stop running. You leave him alone. Shouting because that water healed. I mean, if I was overflowing with the Holy Ghost. And you come up there, settle down, you come to a place of relaxation. Speak at first, I'm preaching and teaching to God. Now, everybody that's whooping and hollering, not living to God. You want to be in a church, be the pastor. Not only teaching the God, you're living to God. You can't find a church. Come back over here. Love talk. We're here. Every morning as the Lord give us leading. Once we have the opportunity, we will be. As you know that I'm still dealing with stuff in my body, but I still got to go through a lot of different tests and exams and, you know, to make sure the doctor's checking so that everything is closing up right and feeling right, you know. The ligament is pulled up. Okay. Come on, somebody be preaching. Somebody be teaching. Somebody be saying something about peace. And you find a church that teaching, preaching, leading. And that's great enough. Love you guys so much. Thank you all for listening to me today. I'm going a little longer today. But I pray that you've heard something that brought you closer. We're glad to see Deacon Fraser back on the line. Now, Brother Robert is here. And thank God for Pastor School Pastor. I'm praying for you guys every night. I know you're praying for me every night. But keep Pastor Brown. Pastor Brown. Prayer. We know that prayer, even with prayer, can do what no man can do, what no money can do. It can go where no money or man can do. Even in prayer, because you know it's a scary thing. You don't know how scary it is. I said, if you go down, they put you on it with a toothache. It's scary. Because anything can happen when you go under. And I said, somebody said, well, it's just a toothache. Well, it's more than that. When you can't move your foot when you want to move your foot, move your hand when you want to, you're in a place. You're in a bad place. And, you know, they put you on there. You may be on there for 45 minutes, you know, 30 minutes to an hour or so. Depends on what type of surgery you're having. Man, I was down for 6.5 hours. Supposed to be 8.5, but God let everything run smooth. No, that's a long time to be under. A long time to be under. Then when I come from under, I almost went crazy, man. I would turn 90 this morning. You know how many times I tried to break up the hospital? Sunday. He had me on one medication. The pastor that had me crazy, man. They had to take me off it. I mean, I'm crazy. They know I can't use any drugs. You know, I was an addict. I can't use drugs. But they had me on a medication that was driving me crazy. I even got up out the bed one night, man, trapped. But God had kept me. Ooh, Lord Jesus. But I had tubes in my belly. I had tubes in my belly. You know, tubes in my neck. So on. But God didn't let me pull out 92. I was trying to get down out the bed. And they had a catheter onto me and my penis. So they had a bucket. I don't know how to call it a bucket. But they had a jar down there that was almost filled with urine. And when I stepped on the bed, I was so weak. Man, I knocked over the jar, so he was everywhere. So I started crying out for the nurses because I thought that my blood was just flowing everywhere and I was slipping and sliding, but I was trying to hold on to the bed. And I wasn't strong enough to pull myself back up. Oh, but I never tried pulling none of those tubes. I could have killed myself. I never tried pulling none of those tubes out my neck or out my belly or none of that. And I never tried to pull the one out my leg because I had that butterfly, they call it, balloon that was underneath my heart to take some of the weight off my heart so the heart didn't have to pump as much. The balloon was doing the pumping. But God is so good. You know, when you sit back and see the things that God do for us, some people say, well, yeah, he runs. No, when you sit back and look at things that God has done, you can't help but praise him. You can't help but praise him. I'm telling you, you can't help but praise him. And I thank God for all you see, every single one of you all that were praying for me. I hear Brother Robert told me he was praying for me. They were praying. Pastor Stuart, Pastor Joyce, Pastor Washington, and Bishop James, praying for them because he might have to have double knee surgery. We praying that God would heal her knees and that she wouldn't have to have double knee surgery. Okay, so God, Father, we thank you and praise you for everyone that heard the word today. And we ask you, God, to bless each and every one of us to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word, that we will go forth each day to testify and glorify your name, Lord, that we wouldn't shut our mouths in the midst of the congregation, oh God, but we would open and testify of all the works that you have done for us, and we will call the congregation to surrender, oh God, to repent, and oh God, give their heart completely over to you. Know that time is getting closer and closer. In Jesus. And when the line is open, if anyone wants to respond, the line is open. Close out. See what the Lord says.
And I'm going on. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for all that you have said and done. We didn't know, see, the phone went off of Bluetooth. So we thank you, Father God, for touching us, for healing us, for delivering us, for restoring us. We ask, O God, that you continue to give us what we need to magnify your name, to glorify your name, Lord. We ask, oh God, that you continue to touch Apostle Stuart, Pastor Joyce Stuart, Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington, Brother Deacon Freeze. We ask that you touch Brother Robert over there in Buffalo, New York. And Father, we pray, oh God, for Apostle Washington, that you heal her knees, cause the cartilage to refurbish, Lord. Because we know that there's nothing too hard for you, God. We know that you can do what you said you would do. You know, your word said if you said it, you would do it. And we believe it. And that's all it needs to settle in heaven. It's for us to believe. And we believe, Lord. We ask you, Father God, now to continue to work this thing out for Pastor Brown, and we ask, oh God, to give Evangelist Brown the strength, oh God, and give her the faith to stand next to her husband, in spite of, because all the enemy looking for doubt, and we we ask, Father, that you don't allow her to doubt, oh God, but to have faith. To have faith, Lord. Have faith in you. And when we have faith in you, we begin to see the manifestation of your power and of your glory, oh God. Lord, you allow me to see this in the hospital room. Oh, Father, I couldn't even believe that I would be like that. I remember watching Star Trek and see all this stuff. I was hooked up with all these different wires like some type of robot. But you kept me, Lord God. Not only kept me, Lord, you healed me, you saved me. I remember while in the hospital, I picked up two stomach viruses, two intestinal viruses that they had to put me on two different, one antibiotic, and then they had to put me on another virus, whatever you call it, medication that I had to use. Even when I was here at home, I had to use it. And it was fighting that virus that was in my stomach. That when the people came in, possibly it was serious, man. When the nurses and when the doctors come in the room that I was in, they had to wear a special suit. You hear me? They had to wear a special suit. Sometimes you see me, I'm crying, I'm weeping because I know what God has done for me. And they had to wear a special suit, like a hazmat suit. Because I picked up, this was none that I had. I picked it up in the hospital. It could have killed me. But God that I serve, you hear me? The God that I serve, hallelujah, Jesus, totally cleansed my intestines and everything. Cleaned my everything he cleaned. And they said, we don't know what happened, but the viruses dissipate. And all of a sudden we see, the doctors coming in without the hazmat. Nurses coming in without the hazmat suits. God, that we serve people. Don't let the devil cause you to doubt God. You may lose a family member, or you may lose this. Don't let him cause you to doubt God. God is awesome. He's mighty. Hallelujah. Praise him in the midst of. Praise him for your sons, your grandsons, your granddaughters. Great-grandchildren, praise him. They want to go into the world and live like the worldly stuff. Praise him. And let God hold them, that even though the world is trying to pull them and draw them, if God has his hand on them, the world can't have them. I'm telling the truth. I look at my son, man. He called me yesterday, and he was saying, Dad, I'm so happy. He says, I'm so happy for how you're healing. Don't try to do this. Don't try to do that. Allow the healing. He's ministering to me. He said, Dad, just let the healing take place. I've seen some of the strips drop off on the floor. I was ministering this morning. Someone's got a doctor. He said, don't take off the strips. They'll drop off by themselves. It tells you that you're healing. Glory to God. So I thank God for you all. I think my Bluetooth went on at some point in time. I thank God for you all for being here to me, for me and with me and praying for me. And for those that are sowed into my life, I thank God for you. And I pray that God put back into your life a hundredfold for what you sowed into us, helping us in this ministry. God bless you all. No one wants to share. We'll go ahead and pray and close out. Father, we thank you for blessing us with this word this morning. Blessing us to let us know that even if we are caught in the act, Lord, that you are still able to forgive us. We ask, Father God, for strength today. We ask for guidance. We ask for liberty. Oh, God, for the freedom to preach and teach, oh, God. We ask, Father God, that you cover everyone under the sound of my voice. And even those that are far away, God, prime ministers and presidents and congressmen and senators, oh God, Lord, Supreme Court, Justice Department, doctors, lawyers, nurses, judges, Lord God, that you would touch today, Lord God, that you would restore them to their rightful mind. Some of them are, all they see is things, oh God. They don't see righteousness or holiness. They just believe in things. But God, you draw them to a place that they will see the righteousness of God. the great I am, the lily of the valley, the early morning star, the land of the tribe of Judah. Lord, we pray for David Aduka in Ghana, Lord God, apostle, who's praying for me all day long, have the church praying nonstop, Lord God. We pray for Pastor Gudis in India. Lord, they have so many churches, and they've been praying, oh God, they were interceding, fasting and praying for my life. God, we ask you, thank you for Pastor Stewart and Pastor George Stewart, who have the church praying and fasting and seeking you, Lord God, touching the hem of garment for my life, Lord. We just thank you, God. We just thank you and praise you, oh God, for all that you have done, all that you know. Lord, bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us where we come and bless us where we go. Continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, we pray that you will make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And Father, don't only give us blessings so that we can push our chest up. But we are asking for blessings, oh God, so that we can bless the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless. Oh God, those that need to see your hand, not just to hear your voice. Oh God, you told the disciples, set the people down in groups of 50. And you took the little boy to lunch and prayed and multiplied, and you gave them word. You gave them food, not just the word, but you gave them food. Lord, we pray this morning, oh God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. I want you all to know I love you all, but God loves you both. We'll be back here tomorrow morning until a certain time. We've got to go see the doctor. But we'll see you tomorrow morning. If you're not busy, come on and fellowship with us in the morning. Either way, we'll be here tomorrow morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.